Exit 268 Highway 401 Cambridge, Exit 579 Highway 401 Napanee, Exit 5 QEW Fort Erie. Service or quality vich sab to parmukh na QTL 519-622-0660. Jo aave so razi jaave.
We truck you.
Assalamu alaikum, how are you today? I hope you're doing well.
Stick around to be inspired.
Welcome listeners to another edition of A Muslim's Perspective. This is your host Alim Ali, and thank you for joining us. Today our selection from the Quran is taken from chapter 21, verses 83 to 84. Let's listen in as it's recited. Yes, it's not going to be recited. I'll read the translation for you. For some reason, the file is not operative. Yes, it says, in the name of God, most gracious, most merciful. And mention to Job, when he called to his Lord, indeed, adversity has touched me, and you are the most merciful of the merciful. Verse 84, so we responded to him and removed what afflicted him of adversity, and we gave him back his family and the like thereof with them as mercy from us and a reminder for the worshippers of God. These two verses are in chapter 21, verse 83 and 84. These verses summarize one of the Quran's greatest lessons on patience, illness, hope, and the mercy of God. Let's look at the historical background. The prophet Ayub, in biblical naming, he is known as Job, was among the prophets of God who was blessed with abundant wealth, healthy children, respected status, and strong faith. God tested him by gradually removing these blessings. According to the authentic Islamic tradition, he lost his wealth, his children died, he suffered a prolonged physical illness, and most people abandoned him. Only a few remained loyal, most notably his wife, who cared for him faithfully. Unlike some biblical accounts, the Quran does not portray Job as questioning God's justice or accusing him. Instead, he remains a model of unwavering faith. As we see in verse 83, chapter 21, and Job called upon his Lord. The Quran begins with this prayer, with his prayer. Remarkably, Job waited until the trial had endured for a long period before making this supplication. Classical scholars note that this demonstrates patience before complaint, trust before desperation, and worship before relief. Indeed, adversity has touched me. Notice that Ayub does not say what Job does not say, is he does not say, why me? He does not say, remove this suffering immediately. He did not say, I don't deserve this. Instead, he simply states the fact. Adversity has touched me. Ibn Kathir, in his explanation, remarks that this is among the most beautiful forms of supplication because it combines humility with complete trust. He mentions the hardship without complaining against God. And he continues, and you are the most merciful of those who show mercy. This is the heart of the dua. Rather than focusing on the illness, he focuses on God. Instead of magnifying the problem, he magnifies God's mercy. Classical scholars explain that Job never tells God what to do. He simply acknowledges God's mercy. This reflects perfect adab or etiquette in supplication. In verse 84, it says, quote, so we answered him, unquote. God's response is immediate in the Quranic narrative. Although the illness lasted years, the answer was never delayed in God's wisdom. God answers exactly when his wisdom decrees. He says, quote, we removed what afflicted him, unquote. Healing comes directly from God. Medicine is only a means. Doctors are a means. Treatment is a means, but the cure belongs to God. This perfectly complements the statement of the prophet Abraham when he says in chapter 86, verse 80, When I am ill, it is he who cures me. And to continue with verse 84, chapter 21, God says, we restored his family to him, unquote. Classical explanations of the Quran offers two explanations. God revived those who had died. God granted him new children in addition to restoring what remained. Many scholars, including Al-Tabari and Ibn Kathir, mention both interpretations. Either way, the meaning is that God returned every blessing that had been lost. Continuing on, verse 84, quote, and doubled their number, unquote. God did not merely replace what Job had lost, he increased it. One lesson is that God's reward often exceeds what was taken. Why did God test Ayub or Job? It's one of the critical questions. The Quran never suggests that illness means God is angry. Instead, prophets themselves are tested the most severely. The Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of God, said, the people most severely tested are the prophets, then those nearest to him, then those nearest to them. Reported in Al-Tirmidhi. Thus, suffering is not necessarily a sign of divine displeasure. It can be a means of purification, elevation, and closeness to God. So, why mention this story? God concludes, quote, as a mercy from us and a reminder for those who worship. The story serves as, one, comfort for the sick, hope for caregivers, encouragement for those facing loss, reassurance that hardship has an end, a reminder that God's mercy encompasses every difficulty. From the classical explanations, we have the following lessons. Drawing on the explanations of At-Tabari, Ibn Kathir, Al-Qurtubi, Fakhr al-Din al-Razi, several enduring lessons emerge. One, patience does not mean suppressing emotion. It means refusing to lose trust in God. Two, complaining to God in prayer, in supplication, is an act of worship. Complaining about God is something different. Three, healing belongs to God alone, even though we are commanded to seek treatment. Four, trials are not reliable indications of God's love or displeasure. trials are not reliable indicators of God's love or displeasure. 5. Relief often comes after perseverance, even if its timing is unknown to us. And finally, God's mercy may restore what was lost or grant something even greater. Let us reflect on this in terms of our contemporary times. In a world where illness often brings anxiety, isolation, and uncertainty, the prayer of Job teaches a timeless response. We should pursue medical care, support one another, and make sincere supplication while entrusting the outcome to God. His words remain amongst the most profound supplications for anyone facing illness or hardship. In Quran chapter 21, verse 83, "Indeed, adversity has touched me, and you are the most merciful of those who show mercy." This is a prayer of humility, hope, and complete confidence that God's mercy is greater than any affliction.
One thing that our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us to take advantage of and to make use of before we lose it is our siha, is our good health. Why? Because once this deteriorates, it can lead to many illnesses. And things that we could have done or that we had the strength for once upon a time, we don't have it anymore. And really, it's one of those things, as the Arabs say, "An-ni'matu idha fuqidat 'urifat." Only once you lose a blessing such as health, you recognize the value of. And this really serves as a great test for us as believers. You may be a cancer patient undergoing chemotherapy, consulting with specialists from all across the world, but there doesn't seem to be a cure. There doesn't seem to be a way out. So how do we as believers understand this? How do we as believers approach this in these difficult scenarios and situations? This is the perfect opportunity to reflect on yet another name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because we believe that Allah is Ash-Shafi. He is the healer and He is the one who can cure. He is the only one who can cure. Now, does this mean that we can't now turn to medication if we need to undergo surgery, if we need to seek professional help, that we can't do this? No, absolutely not. It was Ibrahim alayhi salam, in fact, who said, "وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينَ." When I fall ill, it is only Allah who cures me. But does that mean that Ibrahim alayhi salam did not seek help? We can in fact learn something from a story of another great individual and prophet, Musa alayhi salam. It is reported that once he was experiencing some pains in his stomach. So he, being Kalimullah, being the one who could directly converse with Allah, sought help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah told Musa alayhi salam to go to a particular tree and to pick certain herbs, to take it as a form of medication, and that would help. And this is exactly what Musa alayhi salam did, and guess what? It helped. And in fact, this pain went away. But the following day, when Musa alayhi salam experienced the same pain once again, he went directly to that tree and he picked the same herbs, he took the same medication, but on this occasion, his pain worsened. So he went to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he relayed this, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught him a lesson that on the first day, yes, you took the medication, that you thought the cure was in the medication and it wasn't from me. So what do we understand and learn from this story? That there is nothing wrong with seeking help and taking medication. But it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who ultimately provides the cure. Why? Because He is Ash-Shafi. And this is something that our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us as well in a famous dua, Washfi anta Ash-Shafi. O Allah, cure us, because You are Ash-Shafi. You are the ultimate healer. La shifa'a illa shifa'uk. There is no cure except Your cure, O Allah. So whether it's a physical illness, whether it's even a mental illness, we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times, believing that it is only He who can provide the cure.
Bow down to the One, He who holds my soul, Lord of the moon and sun, always giving me more. Bow down to the King, majestic, most sublime. He keeps on forgiving, time after time. Bow down to the One, He who holds my soul, Lord of the moon and sun, always giving me more. Bow down to the King, majestic, most sublime. He keeps on forgiving, after time. Allah says in the Quran, what does He say? He says, "Khuliqal insanu dha'ifa." Someone, Allah says, Allah created this human being weak. Anybody that's weak has needs, no? Okay, so the minute you have a need, Allah, does He look at you or does He look in your heart? Your heart, your heart. So the minute you have a need, He's interested not that you're going to take the asbab. Ad-dunya darul asbab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to utilize the means. He just doesn't want you to rely on the means. So now He's checking your heart. Where is it turning the minute He gets hungry?
Where is the dua going?
Yeah. The minute you have a major problem in your life, does your heart first turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then taking the means is no problem?
Yeah.
So that's a good litmus test. I like to tell people, the next time you're sick, see if your heart first turns to medicine or to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wow. Musa alayhi salam, he came to Allah, he says, Ya Allah, I'm sick. So Allah tells him, go, there's this leaf, eat from this leaf. So Musa goes, eats from the leaf, he gets better. After some time, Musa gets sick again. So this time, Musa, what does he do naturally? He goes back to the same leaf. He consumes the leaf, but this time,
he didn't
get back.
He didn't go back to Allah first.
So he went to Allah and he asked Him. He says, Ya Allah. He said, the first time when you got sick, you came to me. And then so I cured you through that leaf. He said, but the second time, you went to the sabab directly. فَتَرَكْتُكَ وَالسَّبَبُ. I left you in the means on your own. The means are dead without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says in the Quran, what does He say? He says, خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ. Thank You, Allah, for blessing us with life, blessing us with Islam, blessing us with Iman. Thank You, Allah, for blessing us with life, blessing us with Islam, blessing us with Iman. Thank You, Allah, for blessing us with Muhammad Rasulullah. Everything in creation praises You, Allah. Everything in creation worships You, Allah. Most merciful One, Lord of the world, thank You, Allah. Most gracious One, thank You, Allah, for blessing us with life, blessing us with Islam, blessing us with Iman. Thank You, Allah, for blessing us with life, blessing us with Islam, blessing us with Iman. Thank You, Allah.
Ash-Shafi, the healer. When you've been exhausted by pain, and illness has darkened the world around you, and you have no more energy to walk in the hallways of hospitals and the names of clinics, dates of visits, and faces of sick people have become blurry in your mind. I want you to know a word that will, inshallah, cleanse all of that for you and bring you back to health and bring you back to life. It's the name of Allah, Ash-Shafi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls himself the healer. Aisha radiallahu anha, she mentions that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he would visit a sick person, he would say, Allahumma anta shafi la shifa'a illa shifa'uk. Oh Allah, heal this person. You are Ash-Shafi. You are the curer. You are the healer. There is no cure but through you. Heal them a healing that leaves behind no ailment. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calling himself Ash-Shafi. How beautiful is that? That's one of the names that we praise him for.
What does shifa mean? Shifa means to come back from the edge. So if I'm on a ledge and this is the edge, right? I'm in danger of falling off. Shifa is to come back from the edge. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says, وَكُنْتُمْ عَلَى شَفَا حُفْرَةٍ مِّنْ النَّارِ Surah Al-Baqarah, he says, and you were on the edge of a ditch of the fire. And he saved you from it. And so shifa is to come back from the edge of death or illness to the ledge of safety and healing. So Ash-Shafi is a beautiful name of Allah. And Allah heals with a cause, and Allah heals without a cause.
Even the name itself sounds healing. The sheen in Arabic, it has an attribute of tafashi, spreading. It's like a shams, it's like the sun. You know, that light of the sun that spreads all over the world. And beyond it, I want you to imagine shifa, healing, spreading all throughout your body.
And as one doctor once told me, worded this very beautifully, he said to me, us doctors, we treat, but Allah cures. And he said, when you practice medicine, you realize that Allah is Ash-Shafi. He said, I don't know how many times I've seen patients and I ask them, or at least I ask myself, and I think, how is this person still alive? But Allah Azza wa Jalla is the one who heals. Allah is the one who cures.
Illness in the life of a person is an event that happens again and again and again. It's with varying pains, with many forms, and it's hardly avoided by anybody. And even if you are healthy, you see your brother in pain or your mother in tears or a beloved person ill, Allah decreed that the light of life dims every once in a while through illness so that we can remember something that is similar to illness but greater, which is death. Just like illness is the end of liveliness, death is the end of life.
Allah has mentioned a number of things as being healing, that the Quran is shifa. Allah mentions honey being shifa, that from the bellies of the bees, يَخْرُجُ مِن بُطُونِهَا شَرَابٌ مُخْتَلِفًا أَلْوَانُهُ, that a food that comes out that is variant in its colors, in it is شِفَاءٌ لِلنَّاسِ, in it is healing for the people. And so this is all from the manifestations of Allah Azza wa Jalla's healings. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ مِن دَاءٍ إِلَّا وَأَنزَلَ دُعَاءٍ, مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ مِنْ دَاءٍ إِلَّا وَأَنزَلَ دَوَاءٍ, that there is no ailment that Allah has sent down except that He has brought down a cure with it. عَلِمَهُ مِنْ عَلِمَهُ وَجَهِلَهُ مِنْ جَهِلَهُ, those who know it, know it, and those who don't know it, don't know it. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, except for one ailment, and that is death or old age. There's no fountain of youth that a person will be able to drink from where they will get 20 years younger or 30 years younger again. But everything else there is a cure for.
But because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a shafi, He heals you with the smallest cause, He heals you with the most unique cause, He heals you with something not considered to be a cause, He heals you with no cause, He heals with herbs, He heals with simple or compound medicines, He heals with dua, He heals with water. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Tadawu ya ibadallah, seek medicine, O servants of Allah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not bring down any ailment except He brought down a cure, except for death. And in another narration, except for old age. There's no cure, there's no fountain of youth anywhere. But other than that, every other ailment that exists has a cure. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, عَلِمَهُ مِنْ عَلِمَهُ, those who know it, and those who don't know it, don't know it. So what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want from us? He wants us to return to Him. To return to Him with our contentment, return to Him with our prostration, return to Him with our repentance, return to Him with seeking forgiveness, return to Him with charity, return to Him with confession. There's no hospital in the world that will heal us if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't decree it. There's no doctor in the world that can diagnose your illness except if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills that. Doctors treat, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cures. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا يَفْتَحِ اللَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ مِنْ رَحْمَةٍ فَلَا مُمْسِكَ لَهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whatever Allah grants the people of mercy, none can withhold it. And whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala restricts, then who can open it after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And Ibrahim alayhi salam, he tells us, وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينَ. That when I become sick, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who heals me. And Ayyub alayhi salam, who was exhausted by years of illness that scattered his family and scattered his wealth, and the most optimistic of people had lost hope in him being healed. Ayyub alayhi salam, he says, my Lord, I have been touched by harm, and you are the most merciful of those who show mercy. And just like that, the doors of the heavens are opened and the command descends from above the seventh heaven for his burdened soul. In a moment, years of toil are reversed. So then the question becomes, when you are sick, do you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to heal you? As you're rotating from doctor to doctor, as you're going from clinic to clinic, are you asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to heal you? You know, there are many people who go through the trials of illness, and they're asking for help from everybody, but they don't spend time asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why would you seek other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Why would you give so much of your energy and your hope and place it in other than Allah? This isn't the first time you've been sick, right? You've been sick before. Who's the one who healed you? Wasn't it Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Then why then, in this sickness, is it too much for him? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says at the beginning of Surah Al-Mulk, he says, تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ الْمُلْكِ وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. Blessed is the one in whose hand is the kingdom, and he's able to do all things. And the stories of healing are too many to count. The story of healing we know, that we've heard from people, are too many. And I'm sure that you all have many to share. Let us all have hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a Shafi. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by His beautiful name and attribute, a Shafi, that His blessed healing hand wipe over everybody who is sick. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replace our flesh with better flesh and our bones with better bones. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants all of our sick brothers and sisters the combination of wellness and reward. Oh Allah, You are our Shafi. Heal our physical ailments and heal our spiritual ailments and grant us good health until we meet You.
La ilaha illallah,
no God but Allah.
Muhammad Rasulullah,
Muhammad is the messenger of Allah.
Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah,
I bear witness that
there is no God but Allah. أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. I bear witness that there is no God but Allah. I bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah.
Listeners, illness is one of the life's few universal experiences. Every one of us has either endured sickness personally or watched someone we love suffer. It can arrive suddenly through an accident or a diagnosis, or gradually through the aging process. It may be physical, emotional, psychological. Yet, regardless of its form, the Quran teaches us that illness is not simply a medical event. It is also a spiritual encounter. God in the Quran invites believers to see illness through the lens of faith. Rather than asking only, how do I recover? It also encourages to ask, what is God teaching me through this experience? God reminds us that life itself is a test. In chapter 2, verses 155 to 157, when he says, quote, we will certainly test you with a measure of fear and hunger and loss of wealth, lives and fruits, but give glad guidance to those who are patient. Illness is amongst those tests. God in the Quran never suggests that sickness is necessarily a punishment from God. In fact, those whom God loved most, the prophets, experienced some of the greatest trials. The Messenger of God, Muhammad, peace and blessings of God, said, quote, the people most severely tested are the prophets, then those nearest to them in righteousness, then those nearest to them, as recorded in Jami'a Tirmizi. This hadith transforms our understanding. Hardship is not proof of God's displeasure. Sometimes it is evidence that God is refining, elevating, and preparing His servant. One of the clearest Quranic declarations about healing comes from the prophet Abraham, who said, as is recorded in the Quran, chapter 26, verse 80, quote, and when I'm ill, it is He who heals me, unquote. Notice the balance in this verse. Abraham does not deny illness, nor does he deny the need for treatment. Rather, he reminds us that doctors diagnose, surgeons operate, medicines treat, but healing itself belongs to God. This is why Muslims combine medical treatment with sincere prayer, dua, supplication, recognizing both are the part of God's plan. The Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of God be with him, encouraged believers to seek treatment. He said, quote, seek treatment, for God has not sent down a disease except that He has sent down for it a cure, except old age. It recorded in Jami'a Tirmidhi and Sunan Abu Dawud. This hadith rejects fatalism. Islam does not teach us to abandon medicine while relying only on prayer. Instead, it teaches us to use every lawful means available while placing our ultimate trust in God. Perhaps no Quranic story better illustrates patience than that of what we highlighted earlier at the top of the program with Job, also known as Ayub, chapter 21, verses 83 to 84. When God reminds us, unquote, and remember Job when he called upon his Lord, indeed adversity has touched me, and you are the most merciful of those who show mercy. So we answered him, removed what afflicted him, restored his family to him, and doubled their number as a mercy from us and as a reminder for those who worship. Notice the extraordinary dignity of Job's prayer. He does not complain about God. He simply says, adversity has touched me. Then he immediately turns his attention to God's mercy. His supplication teaches us that while it is acceptable to express pain, we should never lose hope in God's compassion. God responded not only by curing him, but by restoring his blessings and increasing them. This teaches us that God's mercy often exceeds what we think is possible. The Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of God be with him, further explained the spiritual value of illness when he said, quote, no fatigue, illness, anxiety, sorrow, harm, distress, or even the prick of a thorn afflicts a believer except that God expiates some of his sins because of it, as recorded in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. This remarkable hadith tells us that suffering is never meaningless. Every fever, every sleepless night, every painful treatment and every difficult diagnosis can become a source of purification when born with patience and faith. God also reminds us of our human condition in the Quran in chapter 4, verse 28, when he says, God, quote, God intends to lighten your burden, for mankind was created weak, unquote. Illness humbles us. It reminds us that despite our achievements, our wealth, our technology, and our plans, we remain dependent upon our Creator. The Quran also demonstrates God's mercy through practical concessions. God says regarding fasting, for example, in chapter 2, verse 185, quote, God intends for you ease and does not intend for you hardship. And in chapter 5, verse 6 of the Quran, regarding purification, when he says, quote, if you are ill, then perform tayammum with cleaning earth, unquote. These verses reveal that Islam is a religion of compassion. God does not burden the sick beyond their ability. Worship continues, but in ways appropriate to one's condition. The Prophet, peace and blessings of God be with him, beautifully summarized this principle when he said, quote, when I command you to do something, do of it what you are able. It was recorded in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. Not all illness affects the body alone. Some wounds are unseen. Grief, anxiety, depression, loneliness and fear. The Quran addresses these inner struggles as well, as recorded in chapter 10, verse 57, when God says, quote, O mankind, there has come to you instruction from your Lord, a healing for what is in the hearts, guidance and mercy for the believers. And again in chapter 17, verse 82, when he says, quote, we send down in the Quran that which is a healing and a mercy for believers. The Quran heals hearts by replacing despair with hope, fear with trust, confusion with guidance. The role of the community is also vital. Illness should never isolate a believer. The Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of God, said, quote, feed the hungry, visit the sick, and free the captive, as is recorded in Sahih al-Bukhari. Visiting the sick is not merely a social courtesy. It is an act of worship that brings comfort to the patient and reward to the visitor. In another hadith, God says on the day of judgment, O son of Adam, I was ill and you did not visit me. The servant will ask, my Lord, how could I visit you when you are the Lord of the worlds? And God will say, did you not know that my servant was ill? And had you visited him, you would have found me with him? As recorded in Sahih Muslim. This powerful narration reminds us that serving those who are ill is a means of drawing closer to God himself. Finally, illness teaches us gratitude. We often appreciate health only after it has been compromised. The Prophet, peace and blessings of God, said, there are two blessings, and many people fail to appreciate. Quote, there are two blessings that many people fail to appreciate. Health and free time, as recorded in Sahih al-Bukhari. Health is one of God's greatest gifts, yet one of the easiest to take for granted. Dear listeners, whether we are patients, caregivers, family members, or healthcare professionals, the Quran calls us to respond to illness with faith, patience, compassion, and hope. We seek the best medical care available. We make sincere supplication. We support one another, and we place our trust in the one who says be, and it is. And let us remember the Prophet's own prayers for healing. When he says, O God, Lord of mankind, remove the harm and grant healing. You are the healer. There is no healing except your healing, a healing that leaves behind no illness. May God grant shifa to all those who are ill, patience to their families, wisdom to those who care for them, and gratitude to those blessed with health. May He make our trials a means of purification, our illness a source of nearness to Him, and our hearts firm in faith until we meet Him. Sign as he sings, "Thank you, Allah." Now, how are we supposed to deal with or treat or approach those with illness based on the ethics of Islam? Islam places great emphasis on preserving the dignity of a person who is ill and supporting their family with wisdom, compassion, and hope. Illness is not viewed merely as a medical condition, but also as a test, a means of purification, an opportunity for the community to demonstrate mercy. Here are some of the key ethical principles. 1. Protect the dignity of the sick. 1. Protect the dignity of the sick. The Prophet, peace and blessings of God be with him, consistently treated the sick with respect and compassion, regardless of the severity of their condition. 1. Avoid treating the person as though they are defined by their illness. 2. Speak directly to them, if they are able, rather than only to those around them. 3. Respect their privacy and confidentiality. 4. Continue to acknowledge their value, experience, and contribution. God says in Quran chapter 17 verse 70, quote, "And we have certainly honored the children of Adam," unquote. Their dignity remains intact whether they recover or not. 2. Offer hope without making promises. The Prophet, peace and blessings of God be with him, would encourage hope while recognizing that ultimate outcomes belongs to God. When visiting someone who is ill, he would often say, quote, "No harm, it is a purification if God wills," recorded in Sahih Bukhari. Avoid statements such as, quote, you'll definitely recover, unquote, or everything will be fine. Instead, say, may God grant you complete shifa. We ask God to make this easy for you. May God grant you what is best in this life and the next. Hope should be sincere but truthful. 3. Avoid assigning blame. One of the gravest ethical errors is suggesting that illness is necessarily punishment for sins or lack of faith. Only God knows the wisdom behind any trial. The Prophet, peace and blessings of God be with him, taught that illness may erase sins, elevate one's rank, strengthen patience, become a source of immense reward. 4. Visit with wisdom. The prophetic way encourages visiting the sick, but with consideration. Visits should be brief unless invited to stay. It should avoid exhausting the patient. Bring comfort rather than anxiety. Include supplication and words of encouragement. Do not interrogate the patient with respect to questions or recount stories of others who suffered similar illnesses. 5. Respect the family's emotional burden. Relatives often carry tremendous emotional, physical, and financial responsibilities. Islam encourages practical assistance, emotional support, making supplication for the caregivers, avoiding criticism of their decisions unless genuine harm is occurring. Offer help instead of advice wherever possible. 6. Accept medical treatment. The Prophet, peace and blessings of God be with him, encouraged seeking treatment. He said, seek treatment, for God has not created a disease except that he has created for it a cure, unquote. Seeking treatment demonstrates reliance upon God through taking the means he has provided. 7. Preserve confidentiality. Medical information is a trust. One should not circulate diagnosis, speculate about prognosis, post updates on social media without permission, discuss the patient's condition merely out of curiosity. 8. Speak gently when the prognosis is pure. Speak gently when the prognosis is poor. If recovery appears unlikely, avoid harsh or definitive language. Allow room for hope in God. Help the family prepare spiritually. Encourage repentance, supplication, remembrance of God, and reconciliation where appropriate. Compassion should guide every conversation. 9. Continue making supplication. Even when medicine has limited options, believers should never abandon supplication. The Prophet, peace and blessings of God, said, quote, nothing repels divine decree except supplication, unquote. Whether one understands this as changing a conditional decree or as part of God's overall plan, the teaching emphasizes that believers should continue turning to God with hope. 10. If death becomes imminent, Islam teaches calm acceptance while maintaining reverence. Family members should remind the person gently of God. Encourage the testimony of faith, the Shahada, without coercion. Recite Quran if appropriate. Avoid panic or loud displays that distress the dying person. Continue making supplication. The focus shifts from curing the illness to ensuring dignity, comfort, and spiritual readiness. Here are some ethical guidelines for relatives. Relatives should strive to embody patience without despair, contentment with God's decree, while still seeking treatment, mercy in every interaction, gratitude for every moment of ease, trust in God after taking all reasonable means. Islam avoids two extremes, It neither denies the reality of illness, nor falls into hopelessness. Believers seek the best available medical care, pray earnestly for healing, support patients and caregivers with compassion, and entrust the final outcome to God. As God reminds us in chapter 3, verse 145, quote, no soul can ever die except by God's permission at a decreed time. This understanding allows believers to combine medical responsibility with spiritual resilience, treating every patient and every family with dignity, mercy, and hope. Let's listen to a dua for healing.
O Allah, the one whose mercy heals what medicine cannot. O Allah, we ask you by every name you have taught us and every name you kept in the unseen with you to send healing to this servant of yours. Grant them a cure that leaves no trace of illness, a shifa that restores the body, settles the heart and strengthens the spirit. Ya Allah, make their pain a purification, their weakness a drawing near, and their recovery a reminder of your limitless gentleness. Ya Allah, you are the healer. There is no healing except yours. Pour upon them a healing that is complete, a mercy that is constant, and a tranquility that descends from the heavens. Place light in their cells, strength in their breath, ease in their moments, and contentment in their decree, and make this illness not a setback, but a doorway back to you. Amen.
Supplication, that's a Quranic supplication for healing. And let's turn now to this ever-present genocide in Palestine. As we listen to Mahir Zain's Palestine Will Be Free.
And bombs shining in the sky like drops of rain in
Thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Until next week, I say peace out, and I leave you with Mohideen Chisti's last words as read by Sheikh Hamza Yusuf. Let's listen in. And till next week, peace God.
One of the greatest saints of our history was a great saint named Mohideen Chisti. And the last talk that he gave to his students is how I'd like to talk to you, because I don't think I could do anything better than Mohideen Chisti. He said to his students as he was departing the world, "Love all and hate none. Mere talk of peace will avail you not. Mere talk of God and religion will not take you far. Bring out all the latent powers of your being and reveal the full magnificence of your immortal self. Be overflowing with peace and joy, and scatter them wherever you go, wherever you are. Be a blazing fire of truth, be a beauteous blossom of love, and be a soothing balm of peace. With your spiritual light, dispel the darkness of ignorance, dissolve the clouds of discord and war, and spread goodwill, peace, and harmony among the people. Never seek any help, charity, or favors from anybody except God. Do not go to the courts of kings, but never refuse to bless and help the needy and the poor, the widow and the orphan, if they come to your door. This is your mission, to serve the people. Carry it out dutifully and courageously, so that I, as your teacher, will not be ashamed of any shortcomings on your part before Almighty God and our blessed predecessors in this silsila on the Day of Judgment." Alhamdulillah.
You are listening to WTOR 770 AM, Youngstown, Toronto.
The views expressed on the preceding program may not necessarily be those of the owner or management of WTOR radio station.
ट्रक ड्राइवर भाइयों, अब यूएस और कनाडा में अनलिमिटेड डाटा वीवो टेलीकम्युनिकेशंस के साथ फुल स्पीड नो रुकावट, सफर बिजनेस का हो या शौक का, वर्ल्ड वाइड ई सिम डाटा प्लान के साथ इंटरनेट हमेशा रेडी। ट्रैवल कर रहे हो इंडिया, पाकिस्तान या हज या उमरे के लिए, वीवो टेल के साथ हमेशा रहो ऑनलाइन, दूर दराज इलाका कोई प्रॉब्लम नहीं। घर हो या केबिन, वीवो टेल की हाई स्पीड इंटरनेट चलती है दुनिया के किसी भी कोने में। विजिट करें vivotel.com या कॉल करें 416-243-9836 416-243-9836। कनेक्शन आपका दुनिया के साथ।
वेज ते वेज फूड दा स्वाद बड़ा तूफानी, साडे स्वीट महल दा लभना नी कोई पुरानी।
वधेरे जानकारी दे लई तुसी संपर्क कर सकदे हो सुखा कंग जी नू 416-679-9991 ते 416-679-9191।
Petro Canada pesh karde Juron heavy duty diesel engine oils, hun full service savings naal 10W30 synthetic $20 discount, 5W30 $40 discount, offer limited time lay, 5W30 quick start or oil flow thande mausam vich jeetu, 10W30 engine di karguzari nu banaye rakhda, QTL di thin locations te pujjo aur laab chakko, exit 268 Cambridge, exit 579 Napanee, exit 5 Fort Erie, Petro Canada or UTL, balle balle, anutha saak.
अपनी कम्युनिटी दा सब तो वड्डा, वधिया क्वालिटी वाला ते सब तो पुराना सोडी फर्नीचर हर घर दी पहचान बन चुकी है।
ओ फिर बने भी क्यों ना, क्योंकि बेडरूम सेट, सोफा सेट, मैट्रेसेस, डाइनिंग टेबल, डेकोरेटिव आइटम्स, गल कीजिए सारे घर दा फर्नीचर वधिया क्वालिटी ते डिस्काउंटेड प्राइस ते मिल जांदा सोडी फर्नीचर तो 3 साल लई नो ब्याज।
142 कैनेडी रोड, ब्रैम्पटन, 9058747171।
मेरी पूरे साल की सेविंग $400 हुई है।
मेरी सेविंग $350
और मेरी सेविंग सबसे ज्यादा हुई है। मैंने सेव किए हैं $2,000।
क्या चमत्कार किया, मुझे भी गुर सिखाओ ना।
हमारे पास दो गाड़ियाँ और एक घर है और इन सब की इंश्योरेंस मिलाकर मैंने जबरदस्त सेविंग की है। आप भी अपनी गाड़ी और घर की इंश्योरेंस में खूब सेविंग कर सकते हैं। टर्म एंड कंडीशन अप्लाई। ऑल स्टेट पिकरिंग एजेंसी के राजा बाशर 6472903773 6472903773